Psalm 130 in your Bibles. And today, being the first day of the month, we will honor the reading of the Word of the Lord by standing, if you are able. If not, you will be standing in spirit as we hear from Psalm 130. And I got to tell you, when David opened up this morning and he said, "I'm going to be reading from Psalms," he worried me. He's read close to me before, but what he read today was beautiful. But I want to read Psalms 130. So please stand when you're ready. A song of accents. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive for my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? With you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For the Lord is unfailing love. And with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Beautiful, beautiful words. Would you please join with me in prayer? Father, set aside our labors and our thoughts and let us simply dwell on the message that belongs to you. The words that will be spoken today have strength and meaning, and let them fly into our hearts, lifted up by the Holy Spirit, that we may walk from here knowing we're getting closer. Strengthening ourselves for the time to come, for the minutes to come, and knowing your word more full and more complete. We thank you, Father, for allowing us, for giving us, for providing for us this time, this moment, and this place. We commend our souls over to you through Jesus Christ our Savior, and all of his children said, Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, y'all better be ready this morning because we're going on a journey. I am in a wound up mood this week, and I don't know why, probably because I've had too much sugar again. But there's a lot of things on my mind, and we got a long journey to take, and I have 3 bottles of water, so hope you're comfortable. You know, I am still, to this day, fascinated by this world. I mean, the sheer magnitude of God's creation. It still just stops me in my tracks. I make a lot of jokes about it, but mushroom hunting to me is more than finding them. It's being out there. It's walking through those woods and looking at poplar trees and sycamores and pin oaks and the rocks and the things that have grown up, and seeing trees that I have watched for the past several years that have fallen and are starting to re-enrich and grow again. I am fascinated to no end with what God does with this earth. The flowers are popping up out of the ground. Oh, I try to be a man. I try to be manly and not make a big deal over flowers. Every time Wendy points them out, she's like, "Oh, look, they're coming out." You know, I don't know all the different flowers. I know yellow ones and purple ones and blue ones. But secretly, when I see the flowers coming out of the ground, I'm like, "Look at the little flowers coming in. Don't you tell anybody." It's beauty. It is a wonder when you accept what God made. And don't you ever fall by the wayside of thinking that man or some weirdo situation billions of years ago had anything to do with the formation of this earth. God made it, period. He put it in the right place, in the right time, away from the sun just right, that we would get everything. And even further than that, I am fascinated with people that explore this world. I can't do it. I got married. I'm not a scientist. I'm not that smart. I don't fit in a lot of the contraptions that you see these people doing to go explore the worlds. But I love watching their programs on TV. And I want you to consider with me for a moment 2 extremes of this world. 2 polar opposite extremes. The first of which is Mount Everest. Everybody knows my fascination with that. I would love to climb that mountain. if they, you know, put in an elevator. That's about the only way I'm going up that hill. But I'm fascinated. I know a lot about it. I have read up on it. I have read tons of stories. I've looked at it. I know that in 1953, the first two people to climb to the top of Mount Everest was Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. I'll know those names forever. They climbed, two men, to the top of Mount Everest. And when they got to the top, Sir Edmund Hillary wasn't Sir yet. He became Sir after he climbed there. 29,000 feet up. You understand what that is? That's a lot of miles. That's five. 5 miles. Measure 5 miles off on the road sometime and then look. That's 29,000 plus feet. At the top of that mountain, he took a picture of Tenzing Norgay. Tenzing couldn't figure out how to work the camera, and he didn't take a picture, although he offered to. And later on in the story, when asked why Edmund didn't want his picture taken, Edmund said, "How can I compare with God's beauty?" 29,000 feet. It is the highest point on this earth. It is 5+ miles high. Miles! It has taken lives, but yet when you see it, the beauty and sheer magnitude of it, you can't help but think how wonderful God is. Everybody knows Mount Everest, right? Everybody get your hands up, knows Mount Everest. All right, by show of hands, who has ever heard of Challenger Deep? Well, that's why I said we're going on a red ice. Challenger Deep? No? Anybody ever heard of the Marianas Trench? Okay, Challenger Deep is in the Marianas Trench. Challenger Deep is the polar opposite of Mount Everest. Challenger Deep is 35,000 feet deep. You understand? That's over 6 miles, almost 7 miles deep in the Pacific Ocean. 7 miles. It's in a trench. Now you think about when the world was formed. God was up there going, and I'll just pull out Mount Everest. I imagine like a big ball of Play-Doh, right? Oh, look, we need a trench. Whoop, and stuck his finger in and made that. But he didn't give it without necessity. There is life 7 miles deep in the ocean. How do we know this? Because there are men, and I'm not saying this to slight women. If a woman did it, I'd say there are men and women. But to date, there are only men who have gone down in that hole in the ground. It is the deepest point on earth. They have gone in man-made crafts to the distance of 35,000 feet underwater. That don't impress you yet, does it? Anybody understand what PSI stands for? That's pounds per square inch. Every 30 feet you go in the water, the pounds per square inch start to increase. Right now, standing here, it's 14.3 pounds, just in case you're wanting the science lesson. Every 30 feet you go, it starts to increase until a point where if one part fail, it crushes like a beer can. Gone. And these guys go down there. Oh, I want to do it so bad. I want to go down in there, but I am too fat for that submarine. I'm a little too buoyant probably too. But they have gone down in there. So you have the highest point and you have the lowest point. You have Mount Everest, you have Challenger Deep. Our life walks that same way. Doesn't it? Have you ever been so full, so filled, that you felt like you were at that point, top of Mount Everest? Like nothing's wrong. You get your heart full. I see things that start to fill me up to that point. You all don't get to see the things I do from up here. But today, while they were singing that song, "Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down," I look through the crowd, and there's little Zoe back there, just, and she's singing the words. And she ain't playing with it. Oh, I want to hear her sing so bad. I'll bet that just, you understand? That fills you up. How many people have been so far down? They've been in that depth of Challenger Deep. The psalmist The Bible says, or those who have studied the Bible say, that that psalmist of Psalm 130 is an anonymous writer. Some suggest it's Hezekiah. Who knows? But it starts off, "Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord." It touched me greatly to hear you share your depression story. That's what we're talking about today. From the depths, from the lowest point you can be, 35,000 feet deep, God still knows you're there. Amen.
Amen.
He still knows. He still cares. He still hears. No matter how bad you think you've got it, you pray. What's the psalmist writer say? "Out of my depths, I cry to you, O Lord." You know what that is? That first line is, "At my lowest point, I pray. I beg you. I hear you. I am here. Please come and get me. From the depths of my despair, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy." And so what happens? The Lord hears you. The Lord begins to lift. We all have been fascinated and struck with different things in our lives, how we survive that moment in time. I don't talk about it much anymore because to me it's kind of ancient history now. But at my lowest point, when I thought it was all over, the world was crashing in, I'd lost my job, we all know the story, things were coming apart at the seams, that was it for me. I had made my own decision at that moment that my time on this earth was over. And I prayed, and I begged, and I prayed, and He did not answer me right away. He made me sit for a while until I could hear His voice. Verse 6 says, "My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning." More than watchmen wait for the morning. And what happened? He said, "Okay, now, I'm going to lift you up, and I'm going to take you through the next step." And I got to be here with family. The Lord hears you. Each one of you has your own story. Each one of you has your moment when you are at your lowest point. And if you say you haven't had that moment, then you're not being honest. Because everyone has. In the quietest moments of their selves, when they are completely alone, they have that moment. Jesus Christ had that moment. As He leaned on that rock in the Garden of Gethsemane. Can you see it? "Father, take this cup from me." Even Jesus Christ, righteous, clean, without sin, walking on this earth, human, feeling all these things in that moment. Brief, but it happened. Why do we have recordings of it? So that we won't forget that we are not forgotten. So that we will never forget that in our worst moment, from the depths, He will lift us up. From the depths, He will bring us up. The psalmist writer continues to write about it. He continues to say, "More than a watchman in the morning, put your hope in the Lord. For the Lord is with you and unfailing." I wish I could stand on a street corner and preach that message. I reckon they would lock me up for looking like a crazy man. Can you see me out there in my bib overhauls? John Deere cap on, preaching that message. Come here with me for a minute, boy. But I wish I could. Because I want everyone in the world to know that you are not lost. That in your moments, in those depths, you are to be plucked up and lifted up. And that's what the psalmist writer is saying. And that's what it means, from the depths. If you took Mount Everest, the highest point, turned it upside down, you could stick it in that trench and there would still be room. At your highest point, you still cannot escape the lowest. The only way to get through it is with the love of Christ and absolute commitment to Him and letting Him direct your life and take you through everything. When I first read that psalm, I thought, that's too simple. In my lowest point, out of my depths, I cry to you, O Lord. That's too simple, isn't it? Shouldn't you be doing like a production? You know, like maybe you got to hop on one foot and, you know, walk around in circles or something to get his attention. No, you simply cry out. Help me. Help me. Now the question comes to me, are you worth it? When considering all there is, God through Jesus does just that. He considers you to be worth pulling up. In Romans chapter 8, Paul, writing these words to Romans, makes it very clear that the mind of a sinful man, at verse 6, is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind controlled by a sinful man is death. Only you can think about death. I work with a lot of people every day that tell me every day, just to try to get a rise out of me, I think, hey, Paul, you know, when we die, all we're going to do is lay in the ground. I'm like, well, maybe that's what you're going to do, heathen. And I'll tell them that, just like that too. And they laugh. But there is a number of people that believe that when we go, we go. The mind of a sinful man that is not focusing on Christ thinks only of death as the end. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Yet, however, you are not controlled by sinful nature. What is Paul saying there? For you, in your depth, in your lost, you can be taken out. For the people that would be hostile against God, and boy, we've been hearing a lot of it lately, consider Carroll County. Y'all been following that in the news? No? You haven't heard about that? The Carroll County Council has been opening their meetings, public meetings, with a prayer and finishing it with, in Jesus' name. Oh boy. The Humanist League of America has come to the point of order where they're suing Carroll County to get all them people locked up that would dare utter the name of Jesus Christ in a public setting. And there is a woman there, and I don't remember her name, but she might be my new best friend, who in effect said, I'll continue to say that from now until you put me in jail, and I'll still say it there, and I dare you to try to do something. Amen, sister. I heard a guy from the Humanist League being interviewed on the radio, and they were slamming Christianity. Bang, 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 bang. And the guy interviewing him was a pretty smart fella. He said, so, you ever been to Michigan? Do you know one of the greatest concentrations of Islam is in Michigan? Five times a day, Muslims have to stop, drop, and pray toward Mecca. No matter what, that's their call to prayer. He asked the guy, he says, what if one of them was a Muslim, and in the middle of that stopped and started praying right then and there? What are you going to do about that? Well, this is not the same situation. You know why? It's an attack on Christianity. Because the world is hostile to God. And they would prefer to stay in the depths than ask to be raised up out of it. But even then, if they would come back to their senses, God would see them and lift them. Paul writes on, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him, listen, verse 11, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Amen.
Amen.
I like that. From the depths. CURV was developed by the Space and Naval Warfare Systems in the early 1960s. It was a submarine that was designed to recover lost ordnance off the coast of California. It could go as deep as 2,000 feet. CURV 3, which was the next step from it, was designed to go to 10,000 feet, and then after some work done to it, CURV 3 would be able to operate at a depth of up to 20,000 feet in the ocean. That just gets me. And it's remote control. It goes down and does all these things. It had functional design operations. It had cable that could deploy things. It could pull out arms. It could lift stuff up. It had cameras on it. It had sonar and altimeters and all these great things. And so in 1973, you want to know what you're worth to God when He sees you in the depths? Two men in 1973 in a Canadian commercial submersible were laying transatlantic cable on the floor of the ocean. And suddenly, a buoyancy tank, which allows the thing to come back up, reversed itself and filled with water, trapping them on the bottom of the ocean floor. They had 72 hours of air, and nobody could get to them. Two men, Roger Mallison and Roger Chapman, were stranded at a depth of, are you ready? 1,575 feet deep. That's scary. 72 hours. They were able to extend it to 76 by careful conservation. And initial rescue efforts to rescue Pisces 3 were unsuccessful and they were dying. They were going to be lost forever on the floor of the ocean. And the United States took Curve 3 in a plane and in 24 hours had it in the water headed for them. In the depths. They are laying in a submersible with no way out. Brothers and sisters, that's how we can feel sometimes when you're down that deep and life is pushing down on you. Clock's ticking. Curve came to the rescue. Went down, found out what to do. Laid grappling hooks to this piece of equipment, Pisces 3. Went back up, got cables, and went back down. It was able to, with the help of its mother ship, lift Pisces 3. When they got the ship to the top of the water, the men were starting to pass out. They estimated they had 6 minutes of air left. Rescue from the depths. When all hope is lost, when all is destroyed, you will be rescued. You continue to call on the Lord, and you don't worry about what the world says. You don't worry about anything else. You continue to give it over to Him. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it takes, in the morning, in the evening, by your bed, on your knees, in your truck, if you stop for 5 minutes somewhere. I was laying under the excursion one time working on it. And I raised up to get a tool, and I hit myself right between the eyes on it. Don't worry, the truck was okay. It only bent it a little bit. And I got mad, and I laid under that thing, and I prayed under the truck for 5 minutes. I got calmed down, got back to work. We need to never forget who He is, who Jesus Christ is. Paul Gerhardt. During the 30 Years' War, the German pastor, Paul Gerhardt, the great German pastor, great author of books on Christ and His holy saving on the cross, great author of hymns, was forced out of their home in the 30 Years' War in the 17th century. One night they stayed in a small village, homeless, afraid, all their possessions were gone. They had to flee. They were simply left alone. And the wife broke down and began to cry in despair. And he was unable to console her. So to comfort her, Gerhardt began to remind her of scripture promises about God's provision and keeping, specifically from Romans. He did his job, didn't he? He lifted his wife back up. But then Paul did something else. He went out into the garden alone, he writes, and he fell and he cried and cried. It was his darkest hour. And as he lay there, he continued to pray and cry out, remembering scriptures, remembering lifting, when suddenly he felt God's presence. And it was so strong that it came upon him that he rushed back in and he sat down with pen and paper and he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. The hymn is called, Give to the Winds Thy Fears. Does anybody know it? I'll try to sing it. I cannot do as good as Tennessee Ernie did when I heard it several times now, because I don't sing like him. He's got a very beautiful voice. But the song goes, give to the winds thy fears, hope and beyond dismay. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head through waves and clouds and storms. He gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. Amen. That's a good one, ain't it? Now you know that song? I don't know if I'm giving it the right name, but I had to play that over and over again and wipe a tear when I was listening to it. Because that's the truth. In our darkest times, God will make His presence known. He will lift us from the depths. He will take us out. He will give us what He has promised us. He already did. And as we come near that day, that time, we remember that the one who walked this earth and died for us gave us everything. That regardless of what this world throws at you, that you maintain that focus on Christ. That's it. From the depths of despair, He'll take us to the peak of joy. Amen?
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for the words that have been spoken here today. We thank You for the music. We thank You for the beauty and everything. And we thank You for reminding us that You hear us. The psalmist writer writes out of the depths I cry to You, O Lord. And that's what we do when we're lost. We don't look around and try to figure out what we can do to fix it, what the world, what our friends. We cry out to You, Father. You who made Christ, that gave us everlasting life. You who gave us everything. You who have taught us that the world of beauty inhabited by the world of man are two different places. And we should not let the world change our view, but focus on You and You alone. And we'll be better for it. We'll be continually reminded that Christ lives within us. And He who died and went to the depths of hell won victory over death and has given us the same for our belief in Him. Thank You for saving us, Father, for rescuing us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As we sing the last hymn, if you have a particular need, if you need to be lifted up, if you need prayer, if you need to straighten out with Christ, the prayer bench is open. I don't need to pray with you if you don't need, but I stand ready and invite you to come forward.
Please stand and turn to page 591.